Ну вот, наш конгресс закончился.
Well, all congress is over.
И мы смотрим с надеждой и с оптимизмом.
And we're looking with optimism and hope towards the future, right? I'm hoping that I'll have enough strength to conduct a lesson at night, and we'll advance forward like that. I don't think I'll be mistaken if I invite all of you to our fall holidays. Those who'd like can reserve their spots and can come to the New Year, the Day of Judgment, Yom Kippur, to the Sukkot, and so on. And then to the Congress in Vilnius, Lithuania. I think we've gone through a very serious degree. In any case, we have gone through it and felt what it means to go into a state of Ibur. And now we need to enter it, to dwell in it, until we develop, become ripe. It's not a simple operation, but it has already started. I don't think we'll have a lot of problems continuing it. Just like we know during a sexual act and during conception, this occurs not at once, but through various actions of backwards and forwards, the way it happens in our world, and that's because it occurs like that in the root as well. Kabbalah writes about this in a lot of places. We'll have to do it, but I think my feeling is that I'm very optimistic, I'm very confident that we will achieve this quite literally very soon, as long as we don't let go this direction. This is what we have. And all of our studies, we will go through, work through the system of entrance into the conception of the first spiritual degree, its aspects. It's basically the ascent over our ego, the detachment from it. Just like we learned that Ibur is zero. When it's a zero and detached from the ego of our world, it works, it educates its kids, but it doesn't appear to be its purpose in life, but its purpose in life is only in raising above himself. While participating in all of the other things, but aside from that, to rise above himself. This internal attitude towards yourself, towards your state, it's not noticeable for people around you. They don't know what's happening with you, but you, within yourself, are doing this work. When you gradually begin to feel that everything that you do is determined by the Creator, by the upper governance. Initially, you're trying to understand how this is done, and then more and more you'll begin to feel that this thought of yours, this intention, aspiration, it's replaced by what's entering into you from above. Different thoughts, different intentions, different forces, different direction, and you start in unison with what you feel coming from above to realize this inside of yourself. Those around you don't really care about this, and they're not concerned with this, and you don't need to discuss it with them, only maybe with your friends in the group, during workshops, if I'm asking corresponding questions, because they're very specific and particular moments. The truth is, spiritual qualities, consequences, thoughts, movements, they're very individual. And that's why we need to learn how to master them so as not to create needless obstacles for others. And in general, inform others less of this. Simply treat others with love, kindness, support, not more than that. Don't mix them into your, involve them into the steps that you're taking. They can confuse people and not lead you anywhere. This is what we need to understand. We'll master this and gradually realize. Maybe my words sound tasteless at the moment, but inside you see that there's a lot of movement here, a lot of momentum. We'll go through all these things in the near future. Questions? Don't be shy. No questions. So why did you gather here? Foundations of creation of the group? You're very smart. Yes. Question? Rav, how can we determine this middle line where I won't harm another? Rav, how can you sense a limit beyond which I can harm another? I need to constantly help another externally, regardless of what exists above my states. I need to help another, and especially a friend in the group. This needs to be practically on an instinctive level. That's first of all. I don't need to interfere with my thoughts and feelings into others, because each one of us goes through them individually. And tempo. Everyone goes through them, and it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, new students or old students. Once you come into Ibur, then there the states are very precise. We begin to transition from the states of philosophy, theories and illusionary states into the states that are that are clearly stated, formulated by the system. Because our world cannot be specified by us and broken down into a certain format. But the spiritual world is very stabilized and organized, and everything happens in correspondence of the light with the desire and the screen. In other words, our resistance and our similarity to the desire towards the light, and this we begin to feel more and more. We start to transition from our world when we studied Kabbalah and all of us was simply in our thoughts and illusionary feelings, not real feelings. Ubar is a state when we enter into internal feelings which come from us. They're natural, and they follow certain specific definitions. Out of the state of Ibur, we can begin to open the Talmud of Esther Sfirot and quite literally learn what happens there, and within us feel, hear echoes, certain echoes from there. I hope that this is all in front of us. Up until this moment, we studied articles of Rabash, a little bit from Baal Salam, because they talked to us about this stage in our of our path prior to entrance into the spiritual state. But after that, these studies of Talmud of the Ten Sefirot and the Tree of Life, which detail a schematic in accordance to which, when we read about certain mechanical actions like screen restriction, aviyut or chazer inside, this turns into a huge, huge sensation. A billion times greater than in our world, but at the same time, we have a screen to be able to not only absorb these feelings, but also control them. There you go. More questions? Question? Rav, you determined for us that we don't share our sensations outwards, but everything happens inside of the group. Maybe there are certain internal points between us that we need to accentuate? Rav, I can give you only one advice, a general advice, a very a real one. Think 10 times over whether you'll harm your friend with your words. I can't give you any other advice because you'll still be confused and start philosophizing. The more you'll talk, the more I talk, the more opportunities you'll have to get confused, which is why the best thing to do is to keep quiet, talk about what the teacher asks and only talk about that topic and talk generally. Don't try to explain your feelings to each other in no way. We'll go through all of this. This is a very unique period when a person enters into a spiritual sensation. These are wonderful sensations that didn't exist, and all of a sudden they do exist. It didn't seem possible, and now you see that only this is possible. It's very interesting. Those that will go through those states and will continue going forward, they will envy the new one, the new students, just like you envy a child. When a child wakes up in the morning, he sees the world as, wow, something new, and an adult doesn't even want to wake up. A child sees the world as something new, new world. Question. Ibur is conception, right? Rav, well, you're the doctor, what are you asking me? Student, I wanted to ask how this occurs in the spiritual. This is a process that we're going through right now. Rav, we started. We started this period. Yes, we began. Student, how can we continue to be in this process, which is not simple, where a sperm goes into a cell, into an egg cell, and dissolves in it? What happens in our world occurs in biological matter, corresponding to the spiritual roots. In the spiritual, this occurs by force. Spiritual forces interact in such a way. In our world, this is, you could say, their reflection on matter, which is why from matter, out of it, we can study more or less correspondence of forces and stages. So what did you want to ask? How does a sperm enter the egg cell? Student, we learned how sperm enters the womb and it dissolves in it and then it begins to develop. Rav, all of our actions starting from entry into the science of Kabbalah to conception can be considered as a sexual act. You're jerking back and forth. When semen is ejaculated and enters the womb, that's considered a possible conception. Possible conception. And then when it begins to penetrate into the egg cell, there occurs a bonding between the egg cell and the sperm. At that point, sperm is completely gets completely dissolved in the egg cell, right? It doesn't get dissolved. You could say its essence, material essence, gets dissolved, but his energy is dissolved into the egg cell the way we are dissolved in Binah, in the quality of bestowal. And from this point onwards, we begin to develop. Student, now we've gone through this amazing congress. We've gone through this process of penetration and unification into one force, just like a sperm that enters an egg cell. And what happens now? How can we continue this? How should one's heart be positioned? To obligate the 10 to dissolve me in itself. Then I, with all of my strength, try to enter them and dissolve within them. And this is our job. It's something, it's an internal momentum. Student. So a request to for the 10, request for the 10 to pull myself into them, for the 10 to dissolve myself in them, so that I would fully annul before them. This relates to our spiritual state only. student, yes, spiritual 10. I mean spiritual 10. Rav, what do you mean spiritual student? How should I imagine 10? Rav, 10 represents a common force of 10 people that try to unite together into one whole. And into this one whole, I want to enter and be dissolved. This is a huge spiritual force that exists. This could be 10 lazy people. 9, you're the 10th one. And it doesn't matter that it only seems to you that way. If you relate to them as 9 complete desires to unite together without any limitations, then that is how they'll appear before you. Everything depends on you. That's it. So, go on. You have a 10? So, good. Go on. Don't await anything from them. You shouldn't say, oh, what is this 10? Some of them come, some of them go. It doesn't matter. All of this is each judges according to his faults. We see the world uncorrected in our eyes. If we correct our eyes, we'll see the world of infinity. Okay, Gia, go ahead. You write to me every day, but when you see me, you talk not a lot. Student, what, as Vlad was asking, what should we expect from this process? When the material part disappears, and what happens with the 10? Rav, where do you see material, corporeal? Everything around you are forces. It only seems to you that you see matter, inanimate, vegetative, animate, even human. It's not matter. These are forces. You begin to see them more acutely. Student, how does this process change me? What happens within me? How to correctly position myself, Rav? What happens with you is a gradual thinning of your desires. You become more sensitive to certain processes that occur within you and around you. Your sensitivity increases, but only towards particular things. But towards other things, it, on the other hand, actually disappears. And there's nothing you can do about it. These are consequences of the influence of the upper light, and that's how it will happen. Who will pass the mic? Physical death of the body, is it a type of correction? Rough. Physical death of the body is a stage on the spiritual ladder of spiritual building of the general kli, and it's necessary when a certain measure is fulfilled of these actions is fulfilled, then a body dies. This could be halfway to in the beginning of the spiritual path, or halfway. This is not something that we determine. There's nothing we can do here, and it shouldn't concern us. A Kabbalist,
он пытается продолжить свою жизнь,
tries to continue his life, since this is what's necessary for his spiritual advancement. And on the other hand, when it becomes clear to him that in his body, in this current form, in this current time, is unable to do anything else, then he agrees, he comes to terms with this. He doesn't have a problem, he doesn't fear death. On the other hand, it's a difficult question. We don't have these sensitivity to this yet. In any case, you should know that death of the body is a positive thing for the spiritual advancement. Not positive. I'm unable to express this correctly. You're too focused on the details. You simply shouldn't pay attention to the body and deal with the soul. And for the body, just give it what it needs. From the point of view of Kabbalah, the body doesn't matter. You're working with the Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not the body. Just give the body what it needs, as long as it doesn't obstruct. There are people who haven't slept for 10 hours, they wouldn't be able to do anything. So let them sleep for 10 hours, if it's possible. And then there are those who need to eat 5 times a day, so that they are full. Give it to them, doesn't matter. Whatever the body needs, food, sex, family, power, knowledge, wealth, give it to them. If it stops needing it, then stops needing it. What you need to deal with is mainly, but fulfill it with the necessary things to the measure that these desires need to be fulfilled. These desires need to be fulfilled in order to give an opportunity for one to advance in the spiritual. That's something that's necessary. Otherwise, it won't allow you to do this. That's how it's created, which is why when we see people that go through certain periods in their life, periods of wealth, knowledge, fame, why? Still, all of this needs to be realized. And the faster the better. It doesn't matter which of these desires seem to us more lofty or less lofty. This relates to animal states prior to the spiritual world, which we will need to fulfill even after we enter the spiritual. What? We don't eat, we don't satisfy ourselves corporeally, on the bodily level. We don't aspire to certain knowledge. All of this needs to correspond to the spiritual path. To be subverted to the spiritual path. There's nothing that a person will be able to do that will contradict Kabbalah. Only if one harms others, that is the criteria. Previous lesson we talked about betrayal. Everyone was inspired by this, and you said this is something that we get inspired by and impressed by.
You're not further realizing it because you don't attend the lesson systematically. You're not following me. And I exist only in order for you to take everything from me systematically on a daily basis. Otherwise, why do I need it all for? See? All of your complaints, first and foremost, have to be about me attending all the morning lessons. Evening lessons, the Zohar, even though I considered it extremely important, but okay, only after that can we talk about anything. because I give everything on the morning lesson and the evening lesson, the Zohar, that's in order to draw the reforming light. So, be systematically present on the morning lessons and you'll have no complaints against me. You'll get answers to the questions that you are asking about yourself right now. People that are with me all the time, they constantly reach a state where they don't even ask out loud. They don't express it verbally. Because I answer their questions. We're going together, sort of hand in hand. Let the girls ask.
Good morning, I have a question.
I can't hear a word.
You say, don't do harm. Don't bring harm. I'm, while being in the female body, I tend to talk aloud.
Yeah, we know.
How not to harm? And especially the men's part.
First and foremost, in thought.
How to shut them? How to shut up?
What, it's simply... It's running.
Sometimes it happens.
First of all, you get up in the morning and you direct yourself at doing good to the world. And doing good to the world means shutting your mouth and opening it only to the extent and the circumstances in which you can serve others, benefit others.
But I feel that I bring benefit when I talk.
You think about it before you talk.
So, prior to talking, okay. Rav, as a young woman, to hear about the fact that body is irrelevant,
not important,
feels,
why, who said so?
Not so good. I ask you as a woman to give us different advice.
I didn't get it.
Perhaps about, living for a long time.
Wait a second. I don't see how this has to do with men and women in regards to attaining the goal. There's no difference, only that each of us has some kind of an inner preparation, personality, feelings. Okay, we have to realize that, but it has nothing to do with being a man or a woman. In men, it's expressed in one way, in women, differently.
This is a continuation of the question about fear of death. I'm not afraid of death, but I do want to take care of my body.
Are you afraid that Kabbalah will not allow you to get married? Won't give you the opportunity of getting married? I'm asking.
No.
So what's the problem? Giving birth?
Okay, let me ask this way. I'm a social worker and talk to people about agelessness for a long time. If I talk to people about this now and they come to understanding that loving each other and being close to one another is important, does that affect it?
I have nothing to do with that and I can't talk to you about this. You probably know about it more than I do. Right, guys? That's how I have to talk with a woman. And look, she's satisfied.
Rav, these lessons, you gave more attention to individual movement, momentum. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
But we have merged in such a strong way with the tens that it's hard to...
Just a second. Where is my individual advancement if not in the ten?
That is the question. In our ten, we annul ourselves. We aspire towards being Ibur. And this is this nullification of ours in the ten. Can you say how Does my annulment correspond to the 10 in the 10?
Everyone, ask everyone else here, they'll tell you. Seriously. Where does my annulment take place? In the 10?
I annulled myself, dissolved, and then, and it doesn't work. I annulled myself before everyone.
You annulled yourself before the 10, too.
Yes, yes.
So what's the question?
And all of us annulled ourselves in the 10.
And
we are, where's our work?
Where's your work? You'll see when you'll start annulling yourselves, you'll see the new problems that will appear before you regarding the annulment. And everything works very simply. On the very first degree of the annulment, the conditions that you have received, and then Yenika and Mochin, the other two degrees of the attainment of that annulment, and in that annulment you have to attain. You annulled yourself. I don't exist before the 10. Now, in that 0, I start feeling creation from that, from being 0, meaning I'm no one and nothing, but everything opens up before me. So it says that the embryo sees the entire world from end to end, all the worlds. He's in the world of ensof, endlessness, because he doesn't harm anyone and nothing stands in his way. And this state is in regard to the two following states that are included in this state. There's Ibur, Yenika, and Mochin, 3 degrees of the attainment of annulment. You've attained them completely. Now, there's the next degree. Also in that degree, there's Ibur, Yenika, and Mochin, meaning on the next degree, once again, you have to annul yourselves and again achieve that annulment in Yenika and Mochin and so on.
So, okay. I pray for the fact that my friends would also have a chance to annul themselves. How can I annul just on my own? I do this work, but
necessarily you have to pray for them, yes. Because when you pray for them, you actually pray for yourself. And then you'll see that they don't exist. Your girlfriends, they don't exist. No one exists. There's only you. But when you prayed for them, then you, this is the fact that you have discovered.
Hello again. I have a very question, concerning question. My husband studies Kabbalah, but his state, in my opinion, is not stable. It's not, daily lessons are not as important for him as for me. I have a very strong 10. My girls support me in everything, but it's very difficult for me. Because when we took responsibility, when we signed this covenant between us, it obligates me to support them in everything. Need to support them when they need the support. My husband doesn't seem to be against me studying Kabbalah, but on the other hand, when I come home, he has so many questions for me. And it's hard for me. Please give me an advice. How to bear all of this?
Bear all of what?
To, on one hand, to be in the group completely, and on the other hand, to be support for him.
Is it bad?
No, I don't think it's bad. But how can I maintain? Where can I get the strength to help him while not contradicting him and everything?
Second. What does it mean to help him and not contradict him?
He reads a lot, he works a lot, but he doesn't listen to the lessons on a regular basis. He is constantly searching, and these searches that he has, he wants to share them with me. But my attitude towards the Tan is very serious, towards the path is very serious. I want to be in the group all of the time. So this dilemma that I have is for me, it's for me very difficult. I lose strength very often, but I'm supported by my friends, but it's still very hard.
Ideally, I'd recommend you not to tell him anything and not to talk to him or study Kabbalah with him at all. But I understand your situation. Under his pressure, you're probably, you know, it's unreal to behave differently. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
When I'm quiet, I'm sorry, I don't want to turn this into personal discernments, but this is still very important because I'm part of a 10, and I have this question.
I don't know. You have to bring him to the studying with the men.
Men know this problem very well, and they love him, and they try to support him, but he has this nature where he's always searching, he always has doubts.
So great, he'll scrutinize all of his doubts and everything, but not with his wife, but with the science itself. What does he have to scrutinize with his wife?
Well, because we live under one roof.
And so what? Doesn't mean anything.
I think that my state, the fact that he does not in the group enough.
Look, dear, I can't get into your family issues. I see these as family issues.
What should I do when he wants to talk to me about these things?
Tell him that you don't want to talk to him about it. You want for him to talk to him about it with other men. Really? Support is needed, but not different scrutinies in Kabbalah. He has to study on the same level as you do. Otherwise, it becomes like a teacher and student, and it's not good. You have to be partners.
Continuation of topic of excessive talk. You said that man and wife in the group, if they study together, they can discuss everything together with each other.
Okay, continue. What does it mean to discuss everything? You can discuss everything, and?
Okay, so we talked about that between friends, you shouldn't. You should be quiet. Don't talk, try to talk to a minimum.
We're advancing to spirituality, so what else do we have to talk about besides our spiritual problems? Not family, not emotional, nothing. And not philosophy and not psychology, but spiritual problems. That's it. We have to discuss this a bit so that we won't disturb each other, because otherwise a person has to work inside himself, annulling himself before others, and that's it. What else is there? Rav, we love you a lot.
I know.
The embryo. He's already in his mother's womb. The mother gives him light. He sees everything from end to end, and suddenly the embryo doesn't want to develop. The embryo feels good. Why go someplace? Why advance? Why develop? There's a feeling that he might stop developing.
Rav, you know, our nature is very simple. It's the will to receive. We're very specific regarding suffering or receiving pleasure. We're constantly between these transitional states, reception or suffering. But in reality, it's very easy to control us. We're like a toy. You wind it up a little bit, and it will jump in this direction or that direction because it needs to complete itself. This desire that is dictating me right now, how I should fulfill it. And I don't have any other opportunities to do anything. So can an embryo sees there is a goal of creation that we must attain. So don't worry about this. Maybe men should ask.
From our experience in the group, and we see this also in other places, talking about feelings, it's something that needs to be scrutinized. In our group, it really confused some friends, it pushed them away. If you can again specify, what can't we talk about? Why is it important for a spiritual development to keep these things on the inside? And what kind of game do I have to play on the outside?
Please understand that you'll quite naturally fulfill these conditions according to your advancement. There are no external limitations. Perhaps you can learn from other advices, or you can learn on your own illnesses and descents. So, in order for you to focus on the fact that you shouldn't mess with each other, that's why I said this. If you talk less about your personal problems, those things are not necessary. Kabbalists don't recommend to do those things. And you'll discuss common ways of attainment and ascent. And that's it.
Rav, are there like twins in spirituality?
Twins or... Torah writes about this. All the twins in Torah means twins of the soul. Go ahead.
Rav, what do you do when you see the groups not developing? You want something new.
What new?
I don't know.
I also don't know. If you'll be at the lessons, then you'll see renewal. Otherwise, there won't be renewal. I have the same answer to everything. I systematically give you everything on my daily lessons. If you're participating, then you'll advance and you'll see renewal. If you will not be present on them, then nothing will help.
There are some people that can't go with us, can't develop.
You need to figure this out, not me. That's it. We talked about this. We talk about this at the morning lessons. I talk about all of this, and you need to realize it. There's nothing you can do. If you won't fulfill this, then nothing will happen. Kabbalah doesn't give advice, it gives direction. If you want to accept them, then continue. Otherwise, excuses won't help you.
In my work, frequently I meet different people. And we just talk. Sometimes it's very hard to hold back from saying something, because people talk about the crisis a lot.
Why do you meet?
They come to me because of work.
Then talk about work.
Yeah, but they're sitting in the hallway, they're waiting.
Now you sit there and read a book. There are more intelligent thoughts there than they can tell you about.
Thank you.
I'm being serious. All of a sudden, a person occurs finds himself in certain situations and then complains about them. So don't go there.
We have this strong demand since yesterday of how those that are already for a long time seriously studying, how do we take the responsibility and not, you know, throwing it on the newcomers?
First of all, I couldn't hear well. Just utter one sentence.
How not to throw the intention, the responsibility on the newcomers, those that are already studying for a long time and study.
I don't think it's possible for those or those. What do you mean pass responsibility? Or not pass responsibility? Everyone has his own attitude towards the Creator. What do you mean, newbies or veterans? I relate to the 10 as to the Creator. If I wish to contact Him, then I need to get to the center of the 10. That's it. Nothing else. What responsibility?
It's just that I'm afraid that, again, those that are already studying for a long time will start throwing out others.
Okay, let them throw them out. I'm for it. I'm for one to get there instead of the 10 studying and not getting there. In spirituality, the quality is more important than quantity. If there's someone that's harming the 10, get out. Seriously. It will be good for him and for you. And you're also doing him a favor in this.
Rav, you said that it's very easy to control us. Obviously.
Yeah, you're very easy to control, of course. After you stand there as a wall for a few years.
That's exactly the question. So why do we have to do everything through hardship? Why don't we just have the desire and run for it?
From egoism towards altruism, you'll just stroll towards it with which desire?
Sorry, impossible to hear the question. Why was it impossible to give us such a desire? Why do we have to develop it ourselves?
For that, you need to come attend a campus lesson and begin to pay attention from the first lesson onwards.
No.
There's this expression, the entire world is inside of me, the inner world, the everything's inside of me. What does it mean, inside?
For this, you need to study perception of reality. Don't ask such questions during these gatherings. It's not realistic to discuss them.
Dear Rav, I'm struggling with a question. What is the stimulus towards faith above reason?
Faith above reason is a great action where I begin to rise within myself the force of bestowal over force of reception. Knowledge is reception, faith is bestowal.
Сюда мужчинам, на эту сторону.
Rav, working in the 10, especially in the Congress, there's a feeling that we're more discussing the path It's more theoretical, but there's no evil that's revealing that we can work on. So how do we advance in these circumstances?
Only through annulling yourself for now. And then also in development of certain desires. For now, just in annulling yourself. What kind of an advancement are you imagining for yourselves?
Rav, one question.
Сказано, что оно не восхваляется, не порицается. Почему тогда, когда я смотрю на своих товарищей?
Why, when I look at my friends, sometimes it's even hard to be in any kind of contact with them.
У моих товарищей нет денег, чтобы приехать.
My friends don't have the money to come to the group meetings, even by public transport. No, they don't have cars, they can't take a taxi.
I don't know, but if a group needs to help a person to get there on public transport.
No, I mean the efforts they're making to come to the morning lesson, they don't...
Well, public transportation is so expensive?
To get to the morning lesson, to get to the preparation... The friends are waiting for the first bus and so on, and they come an hour late to the lesson because of that. Why these circumstances? The groups, the friends in the group, they don't have cars.
So they really do live far.
Yeah, they mostly live, quite far.
I don't know what to do.
The question isn't what to do. The question is, why does the Creator make give them such circumstances that they can't make it to the lesson?
If they would have bikes?
Well, bikes, it's possible.
I'm just saying, maybe this is an excuse.
No, I'm not talking about excuses. I'm asking, why doesn't the Creator allow the friends to get to the morning lesson?
Soon you'll come to the Creator. After Ibur, you'll have such opportunities, and then you'll find out everything personally. Why would I address your questions to him?
Thank you. Rav, I stopped hearing you on the lesson. I can't stay focused. Sometimes I can't even listen to one sentence.
That's because you're concerned with your personal problems, and that will go away.
I know, but how do I gradually move away from my personal problems so that I can listen?
Continue sitting at the lessons even though you hear only one phrase.
Also, I'd like to really thank you for this amazing Congress. Thank you very much.
And I thank you for your wonderful meals. We have more time or not? 5 minutes. Okay. Good. The most distant person from here. Who is that?
Going back to the Ibul. It's the time in which a woman can conceive is very short.
This shouldn't concern us.
Right, it's related to the upper force, and this is what I want to ask about. If the question is, why with these friends? Why specifically here?
My dear, excuse me, but I don't want to deal with this. This is not something that I can control, even if we would know this system in the same way that we put together these charts, ovulation charts. It wouldn't help us. I remember when I was a teenager, I was looking into the books that my mom was reading, these charts, various periods and things like that. Now, in Kabbalah, this is a consequence of upper forces, whatever happens in the woman's body, but it's not something that I can explain right now. We'll study this. After the holidays, we'll start to study Talmud Aser Sferot, and we'll study this specific system, the embryo, maybe about 300 pages long, about just the embryo. And then there's the feeding, which is a couple more hundred pages, so prepare yourselves.
Good morning, Rav. We're going on a trip soon. Can you give us a direction? What kind of intention should we have?
We feel good together. Don't concern yourself with intention. There are a lot of different people here, perhaps. We feel good together because we have one goal in life, which is why we're close inside. The Creator has united us. And that's why we're happy to be together. And that's that.
Since I forget everything immediately, can we ask you again, what do we have to work with after we leave? We shut our mouth, we don't express our emotions. What else? Can you systematically tell us, go over the things?
I think that these emotions will gradually disappear. I really hope that sooner rather than later they'll be replaced by a more balanced state when mind and heart will complete each other. You'll see that the system within which you need to act at the same time, Chokhmah and Bina, mind and heart, that's what we're moving towards. The embryo brings a person into a state when he understands that if he's not connected with the text that a Kabbalist wrote, then he's not alive. He's not independent. Only through the text he can be connected to the upper force that acts upon him at this moment, and he feels alive. While when he disconnects from it, he becomes a simple animal. Like that.
Who?
Who's that?
Good morning. My name is Leah. I'm from Israel.
Now we have questions from Israel. What is this?
What is an artificial impregnation in spirituality?
Artificial insemination? I don't know what that is. We're wrapping up. Nothing will help you. You're annoying. There's another woman, but maybe next time. Okay, my dears, please come on stage and announce, and we're out of here. Let's agree to one thing. I want to see each one of your grimaces, faces every day at the lesson. Promise me. Thank you.